Ian, a long time. Good to have you on, of course, from 950 KJR. And, Matt, I'll say this. I've been seeing your tweets online and all this stuff, like the Kraken. They're bringing Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and, you know, lots of big names from Seattle. They're going to be part of this draft on Wednesday. I got to think the excitement in Seattle is pretty high right now.
Well, hi, Jason. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm probably the curmudgeon. I just don't care about that. Let's just give me 30 names that we can start to break down and talk about, man. Having a former Sonic announce that they're bringing in Chris Driedger or something doesn't excite me. Just knowing who the players are is what I want to see. But, they're all about the show here. It's Vegas 2.0 in terms of what they're going to do off the ice, and which is good. It'll be fun. There is starting to be some excitement. I think once we see players here, that excitement will ramp up as well.
Ian, what's your initial thoughts on the idea of perhaps Seattle taking Carey Price, the Montreal goaltender?
Well, I'm trying to sift through, guys, the what's going on there, because the obvious thing about the salary and the $10 million and the only $10 million contract ever get past the first round and all that kind of stuff comes into play. The criticism of him in the regular season, I guess I get that a little bit. I'm trying to figure out if this whole, I thought it was a hip, then I heard it's a knee, the injury, is that just, is it like a smoke screen? Are they just kind of playing possum there? What's going on with that? I don't know. I can make an argument both ways. Let's put it that way. I think I can make the argument that you bring him in, gives you a chance to win every night, makes you competitive. I'd make the other argument, though, that I think you could have that money spent better elsewhere if you want to go after Tarasenko or you want to take a shot at Landeskog or what have you. So I think I can go both ways. Tri-City American, 3 hours from here. His wife grew up in Kennewick. Strudwick, that place well. The Americans used to thump on you guys when you played for that woeful Kamloops team back in the day. So,
yeah, it was point night.
So I don't know. You can make an argument every way around, probably.
Yeah.
Ian Furness joins us, and yeah. I agree. I think maybe a little bit of a smoke screen. The interesting thing is Carey Price agreed to waive his no movement clause. So there's a chance Seattle could take him. His wife's from the Tri-City areas. I know he stays there in the off season. They love it there. He talked openly in an article last year about how just being around the water was really good for him. And I think there's a legitimate chance here. And I crunched his numbers from the last three regular seasons of all the starters in the NHL, and he came in 15th in raw save percentage, got some clear sight analytics that had him ninth in quality save. So I get that he's paid high money, but, man, you need good goaltending. You need good goaltending. And if they're going to sign all the, Frank Saravalli had it, and now Elliot Friedman, that it looks like Driedger's a guy who's coming there, that if you've got a guy you think you can split duties with Price so he's rested for the postseason, I think it's worth it, man. And I keep hearing Seattle wants to make a big splash. And tell us about the ownership and just kind of their high expectations to want to be competitive right off the hop.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. I would say as far as the Price connection here, and I joke about Tri-Cities. I mean, I worked in Tri-Cities 3 years. I was the play-by-play guy there when Jason was playing for Kamloops. We did beat you guys on occasion, by the way. It wasn't always point nine. Shea and Lankow and that group. But
yeah, exactly.
That aside, that Tri-City connection with ex-players, is that's a real thing. His wife being from there 3 hours away, I think there must be a pull for a little bit, especially, and he's a BC kid, I think, or Alberta kid, right? Isn't that where he's from? So, and his dad, I think, is still a goalie coach there. So there's a lot of connections locally. So I think he wouldn't have waived it if it was someplace else, but Seattle might have been having a little allure to it. I like the idea of a 1 and a 1A. Driedger's never been a true number one. So I think you have to, and we've heard his name forever. I mean, he's probably the one guy that's been linked to this organization since day one of this particular season, and especially when they added, a 20-year-old goalie this year in Florida, and they've got a guy that's a high-priced veteran there. I mean, he's the odd guy out. But, his name's always been linked here. But, last I checked, he's never been a true number one. And you're going to be able to put together a roster. I think all three of us would agree. You can put together a roster that's really good. Like, based on what's available in that expansion draft and based on the division you're in, there's no excuse that you're not, if you're not a playoff team, you're not a playoff team on the last night of the year type of thing. Like, so you, to put all your eggs in Breeder, I think, is a little bit risky. So I would, so that's where I would go strongly back to the price argument. I agree with you there. The ownership, and Jerry Bruckheimer, David Bonderman are the two main guys. Tim Leiwicki is the other one. And then, you know, the Oakview Group is building the building, which is unreal. I was there, I went to the building last week and went through it. It's just phenomenal. And so the building's great, but we're always trying to figure out, like, where church and state separate, building slash Oakview Group slash true ownership. And only for this reason, everything they've done so far, they spent money. They're not afraid to spend money. They are not afraid to go to the cap. They've said that publicly a number of times. The practice rink they're building, everything they're doing is first class and money. So I don't think money will be an object. And making a splash, obviously Carey Price makes a splash. Todd Leiwicki is the president. He considers himself, and you know, he's a hockey guy. He's worked in, you know, for I think three different organizations, four different now, including Seattle, as well as the NFL. He's the guy that hired Pete Carroll and John Schneider for the Seahawks. He knows how to make a splash. He knows the game of hockey. He knows what kind of an impact Price could make. They don't have to sell tickets. That's the one thing, remember. The first couple of years, they're not selling tickets. They've got a waiting list. So I think all those things get thrown in, and we'll see what Ron Francis comes up with. It's an analytical, heavy scouting staff and personnel side. Very heavy on analytics. And, you know, Jason, you mentioned the 15th overall. I think that's going to come into play for them, to be honest with you.
When you're looking at you know, a couple selections from the Islanders with Bailey and Eberle, is it both? Yeah. You know, both are proven veterans. I think they both have two or three years left on their deals. Is there a guy that you think would be a preference of Ron Francis?
Well, I think with, I mean, one's a $5 million in cap hit, the other one's $5.5 million, right? So it's, I think you're, I kind of think you're almost splitting hairs at that point, you know. I think it'd be interesting to see whether that selection with which one of those two guys you take, because it seems like it's going to be Eberle or Bailey. What do you do with Carolina? You know, you probably want Bean and that less than $1 million, but Niederreiter is a really interesting prospect. Could you bring Niederreiter back and pair him with Johansson and see if they can get some of that junior magic back? Because both guys have been inconsistent. But if you get Niederreiter, you know, tell them you want Bean too to take the Niederreiter contract off their hands. You know, I mentioned this to our guys on the air today. I think Wednesday is going to be nuts. Wednesday, Thursday, and even Friday are probably going to be crazy because, you know, based on what Vegas did back in 2017, they're going to go heavy at some position and then try to move some guys. So, yeah. And the side deals are going to cut too, right? So it's going to be crazy what they end up doing.
Yeah, I really think they're going to load up on some defensemen because there's a lot of really good defensemen available, and teams are always looking for D-men. There, so you can get some good future capital, I think, and still have a really good team. Now, what about Vladimir Tarasenko? Like, I'm still floored that Doug Armstrong is willing to let him go for nothing. Like, there's no chance Seattle can pass on him, can they?
Well, how healthy is the shoulder, right? So how healthy is the shoulder? But, and I think with the $7 million hit, I think you try to get something with it. Like, you try to make them throw something in there as well to say, hey, they want to get it off the books. We'll take them off the books, but you're going to add something to sweeten the pot too, right? So, you know, Jason, there's that guy sitting out. If you have a chance, think about this, you have a chance to get him and Landeskog. Like, yeah. That's insane. I mean, that's crazy. You know, but the defensemen, so those two guys, obviously, I just have to think are really big targets. I'm curious with the defensemen as well. I think there's some no-brainer picks, D-man-wise. I think Troy Stetcher has to be a no-brainer pick. He right-shot defenseman, 1-7 cap hit. I mean, that's just a, you know, Vancouver's mistake is your fortune, which is great. They let him walk, and you know, you take him back to the Northwest. He's from Vancouver. So, you know, I think Stetcher's a no-brainer. I think I think maybe Brendan Dillon's a no-brainer. To bring him in here. You know, I mean, DeHaan seems to be a guy that gets a lot of talk here as well. Do you bring Calgary, do you poach your friend Calgary
Giordano?
You know,
100%.
Do you bring him in at 37 years old, right? Do you bring him in? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, and then you can flip guys as well. I'm with you, though. I think they're going to go D heavy. I think, Didn't Vegas go? No, Vegas went D heavy. I think I've heard Seattle might go goaltender heavy too. So I don't know. It's they're going to do something. They're going to make a splash. It's, you know, the best thing is, and this will be the wild part, especially because it's a non-hockey market, is to see the reaction when they're bringing in, you know, they announce these guys and however they do it, and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and Sue Bird, our WNBA player, and all these people are bringing these names up, and then 24 hours later, those names are no longer part of the organization because they've been flipped. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, to go back to the Giordano, I don't see how you can't bring that guy in. But the challenge is, like, he's got the one-year contract, right? So, you know, if you bring him in, I don't know if you're going to have a camp or not. You might rotate or whatever. But I think he sets a culture for that team in a big way. He's done it with Calgary. You do it there. But, you know, you're going to have to extend him then past that year. It's hard to have him for 1 year and then maybe trade him away. Or do you take him right away, then trade him right away? Like, I think, like, he's the kind of guy I think you can build around, even though he is 37. And I recognize building around is maybe a bit dramatic. But, you know, you can extend him because I think he's such a good human being. And you want that guy in your dressing room.
Well, and that's where, you know, when I bring up Landeskog or Giordano, I mean, those are guys that you're building a culture right from the start. And I'll, you know, we play the compare game here in Seattle a lot with other sports. And, you know, we compare the baseball team, which is awful, to the football team, which is not awful. And the part of what it is, you know, not knowing what Dave Haxtell is all about. I mean, his first stint in Philly obviously wasn't great. But a lot of it was because, you know, my understanding in Philadelphia was you got a lot of veteran players that maybe weren't buying in. And I mean, Jason, you played a lot of years in the league and you know how, I'm sure how that works. I mean, if the guy that's the leader, if your captain, if your alpha dog captain in the locker room, if he buys in, then everyone usually kind of follows suit. So you need to have a quality guy like Giordano, or you need to have a guy like Landeskog or what have you, I think, to get those guys to buy into a coach that, let's be honest. I mean, if we're looking around, he's still largely unproven, right? I mean, your GM's one of the all-time greats in the NHL, well-respected guy, but he's not coaching. So I think a Giordano would make sense. You know, I don't know how much, I mean, you've watched him closer than I have and you played the position. How much gas does he have left in the tank?
Well, that's the thing. And maybe, you know, is he still a number one or number two defense? Maybe not, but I can't see how he can't play 3-4. You know, he looks after himself. He gets around. But, you know, I keep going back to my initial comment is that you got to set the culture and you need guys that are very confident with who they are and what that looks like. You know, Giordano learned from, Iginla. So, I mean, that's a pretty good track line. And, you know, it's tough because you're going to bring him from one year, then flip him at the end of the year or let him walk in July the next year. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you, cause I think Calgary would probably extend him if he doesn't get picked up. Right. So it's a pretty interesting, and I know it's only one player and we're getting stuck in it, but I really think that's a really important piece for Seattle to look at.
Well, I think Giordano brings a lot of stability to your organization, Ian. And the other thing that him and his wife, what they do off of the ice in the community, what they've done in Calgary for so many years is truly amazing. Like he gives you instant recognition. People are like, oh, Giordano, geez, this guy won Defenseman of the Year in 2019. Like he's a good player. Obviously his cap hit when you re-sign him would go down significantly.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So you could re-sign him the elite players can play longer now than ever before in every sport. And I think Giordano can still be, you know, he might not be a number one pairing guy in a few years, but he can still help your team.
Well, I agree. All that stuff makes sense. I brought up the Seahawks, the Mariners, and the culture. And, you know, when Pete Carroll came here, you know, the first thing he changed was the culture. But he did it with a few key veteran players. You know, they had a rookie quarterback in Russell Wilson, you know, after his second year and, you know, Pete's third year. And, you know, but they built around character guys and some veteran character guys. They kept around Lawyer Malloy and Marcus Trufant. I know those names don't mean maybe much north of the border, but they kept around guys that set the culture, set the tone, and maybe if nothing else, just a level of professionalism. And this is how things are going to be done. And even here, you know, and that's you want a guy. It's a new locker room, right? Like that's the hard thing. Yeah. It's a brand new locker room. So how do you set that from day one? And I think he checks that. I think, you know, when I looked at the list yesterday, guys, and, you know, Jason, you mentioned the whole, the mock draft. I mean, literally, I still haven't done a full one yet. I just kind of check off guys that I would like to see here, and I think they fit. But the first thing I thought of was this team is going to be even better and more competitive than I thought it possibly could be with some of these names out there. you really have no excuse not to make the playoffs in the postseason in your first couple of years with the roster that you have the ability to put together. Well, if that's the case, you really better give yourself one of those guys, like a Giordano, you know, that type of player that can fit the mold and really kind of help lead this team and set the tone. And maybe that's, we circle back, maybe that's where Carey Price comes in. You know, maybe Dreger's not ready to be the number one guy yet, but now you know you have a guy that if you had to win a game, you know, a gun to your head, that's probably maybe Vasilevskiy, but it's those two guys are in the conversation to start that one game that you want in the playoffs.
Ian, we really appreciate this, man. Exciting time in Seattle. I know the Thunderbirds, it's a good hockey market in Seattle, and I expect that the fans are going to come in. They're going to like it. Their team sounds like it's going to be competitive. They're not in the toughest division in the Pacific, and I think there's some playoff spots up for grabs for sure after Edmonton and Vegas. So it'll be fun. We'll talk to you often. Appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas. Good talking to you. Take care.